Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Inside Art Scroll, where the books you read and the people who write them come to life. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi Heshy Kleiman, author of many popular books, including a brand new volume called Living with Hashem on Hashkacha Pratis. How are you, Rabbi Kleiman?
Pleasure to be here.
So nice to see you again.
Thank you.
We're still enjoying your previous books, Baruch Hashem. We're here today to talk about your newest,
right,
Living with Hashem, which is on the topic of Hashgacha Pratis. I know you've covered many topics over the years in your books, in your speeches, and so on, prominently Tefillah, which is something that you brought so much inspiration to.
Thank you.
And today, you're very focused on Hashgacha Pratis, which I think every Frum Yid is on some level, but you've made it almost like a campaign of yours. Talk about what got you into it and then what people will gain from this book.
Okay, ironically, or not ironically, but Hashgacha Pratis is the way I got into Hashgacha Pratis. About 12 years ago, I was contacted, I think, with Jonathan Rosenblum, I believe. He was putting out the first volume of Klal Perspectives. And he asked me to write an article. But at that time, my daughter, you know who that is, was getting married. Mm-hmm. And when I sat down to start to write something, and then we had an interruption, and I called him back and I said, you know, I my head's not there. My daughter's getting married in 4 or 5 weeks, and there's just too much going on. I wouldn't be able to do the justice that I thought it deserved. And, the topic was the disconnect that exists. In other words, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is wonderful, doing mitzvahs and learning Torah, and there's chesed and there's tzedakah, but there seems to be a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and through the years, I kind of noticed it, that there was this disconnect when I would go to different communities, speak in different places. It just, you get the vibes that there's a disconnect.
Well, what do you mean by disconnect between one and one?
Okay, and Rav Avigdor Miller is very big on this. An awareness of Hashgacha Pratis and of Ruchnius, spirituality in the world. In other words, we do mitzvahs almost in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the mitzvahs.
By rote, on that by rote, really.
Almost, yeah. The mitzvahs are awesome in a mother. It's an old thing. That's many things written about that. But we kind of don't connect with the fact that the Eibishter is here. It's funny, as little kids, we all know the song. But when we become adults and we stop singing, we lose focus and lose sight of that mm-hmm. particular aspect. Now, lest one say that that's not a part of Emunah, but the truth is, the Rambam says that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And Rav Chatzko Levenstein and all the big Balei Machshava, the Balei Musa, have written about it for many years. Osama Volba was very big on this. And it's something that it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And again, mm-hmm. we're doing a magnificent job. Art Scroll is part of the reason because of all the wonderful svarim that they make available to mm-hmm. everyone in their language, in the mode, in the way that whether it's in a book, in English, they're able to get into the Medrash, into the Gemara, the Agarata. There's so many things mm-hmm. that the Art Scroll does to make all the svarim and the hashkaf available.
And if I may mention,
yes,
over the last few years, I've observed, let's say just in the world of Art Scroll,
yes,
there's been a proliferation of books and svarim on the topics of Emunah and Bitachon, especially.
That's correct.
And that kind of dovetails perfectly with your focus on hashkacha.
That's correct.
Pratis, right?
That's correct. So people are now aware of it. It's not all the way back here in their minds, and this is not a criticism. It's, you know, I speak in the shul that every single Shabbos.
In Jackson.
And that's correct. And I was once, I mentioned something, and somebody came over to me and says, oh, that's Musa. People don't like to hear Musa. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, but let's just give it a different perspective. You know what Musa is? Musa is that we are unbelievable. In this day and age, Noach was the tzaddik tamim hoye b'doy roisav. Chazon Ish said, b'doy roisav, each generation, you have to look at the generation. We are unbelievable. Klal Yisrael is unbelievable. Can you imagine people that have so much more to be able to accomplish, and they may be unaware of that, or the strategies, the tools, the vehicles, Musa to me is, you're wonderful. And you know how much more you can accomplish? You know how much greater you can be for yourself, for Klal Yisrael, bring Geula. That's like Lahabdil. If I said, you go over to a wealthy guy and you say, you know what? I've got an unbelievable tip. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to sit down with an advisor. You need to read a couple of, portfolios and rearrange things. It'll take a little bit of time. But after that, you'll be on easy street. So somebody wouldn't say, I want to hear what you have to say. So Musa, to me, in my mind, it's not pointing out the chesroinus. It's pointing out how wonderful each person is, a tzelem elikim. Each person has a chelek elokai mimal. We're called the tzelem elikim. Elikim is bali yecheles. We all have unbelievable abilities, which the Eibishter gave us. Let's utilize it to do even more. So that's kind of like from where we're coming from, to just make people aware of the idea that they're focused on Emunah. Wonderful, that's great, and it's helped, you're right. And now let's point out some of the aspects which they can connect with to enable them to go to the next step up the ladder.
So in practical terms, what does this book do for the reader?
Okay. So first we talk about, in the first chapter, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about how each individual has within them the ability to do unbelievable things. And oftentimes the abilities are dormant. They have not been tapped into. Just like, again, in so many different areas, I mentioned in building wealth, what about child rearing? If somebody would have told me things that, which I still don't know, but which I may have recently read, but if somebody would tell me that, you know, I would have said, wow, you know what, I could, unbelievable what I could have been able to accomplish. So it's just a focus of bringing, again, making people aware of certain things and trying to get them to connect with certain concepts.
Now, let's go back to the drawing board.
Okay.
Hashkacha. Right. Hashkacha pratis, for the layman out there.
Okay.
What is hashkacha pratis? What does it mean? And how do we apply those concepts to our life?
Hashkacha pratis means everything, everyone, every place, every moment is provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMachadesh B'tuvoi B'chol Yoim Tomid Maaseh Bereishis, every moment. It's not like God pressed a button and then he went out to lunch and he'll come back and, oh good, he's happy to see that the world is running. Every moment, without the Eibishter, in effect, willing that moment, there would be tohu vavohu. There'd be darkness, and the bus would fall off the rails. So it's the fact that, which means that every moment has spirituality embedded within it. Because if the Eibishter, the Mechad B'tuvah, is, so to speak, willing each moment, that means each moment comes from HaKadosh Baruch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't see things that way for one basic reason. If it was so clear, then we wouldn't have Bechira. If we wouldn't have Bechira, we wouldn't have reward. If we wouldn't have reward, with the whole reason that the Eibishter, in effect, really created us, it's because Olam Chesed Yibane.
Right, and like the Chavis HaVavis discusses, the Char B'Tachin, that there's cause and effect.
That's correct.
The Rabbeinu Shlomo put into the world a system.
So,
and that camouflages his omnipotence and his running of the world.
Right. Everything else, right. It's for us to be able to find ways to connect with that. So everything, the fact that I even decided to write this book, the Svarim that I may have looked into, the people that I met, I'll give an example. Shkacha Pratis, okay? So we started Thursday night in Jackson a couple of weeks ago. We'd like to have a VAD, we call it a VAD, with the people living in, I live in Whispering Hills. So what do? What's the VAD? So although it's the beginning of November and it's a little bit cold, but there's a fire pit in someone's backyard and they bring food. The first week we had someone bring a guitar. And they're hanging, chilling, whatever they call it. I'm a little bit older than they are.
I was going to say.
Yeah, when I walk into the meeting, the mean age goes up 39 years, you know what I mean? And then I say to them, ask me whatever you want. fire away. There's no topic. I'm not there to talk about the parasha. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to talk about. And we talk about absolutely...
Hashkafim, yeah, primarily?
Everything. So the first question the first week, which was a wonderful question, how do we understand what was going on in Eretz Yisrael with Nebuch, the heinous crimes and the slaughtering and the little babies? So right away, my first answer was, if I recall, and I believe this is in the end of the book, the Toldos Aharon had said after the Meron tragedy, that we say ani mamin, we do not say ani mevin. Right away off the bat, it's not for us, me'oid omku machshavoy secha, the Eibishter's thoughts are, the depth is very deep, and quite frankly, I would never think that I know how you guys do the wonderful things that you do, because I might be a bright guy. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. We can debate that. But I never created something like you guys have, which is what you do is unbelievable. So no one's created a world. You know what I mean? So the aim white amkumachavizekha. So we might want to have some insight to understand how we should react to things, but to suggest this makes sense. So that's basically what I told them. And then we started to talk about, somebody asked me a different question, we started to talk about Hashgacha Pratis. So one guy says to me, I have a great Hashgacha Pratis story. I said, so let me hear it. And I'd like to share that story with you and with the people watching this. Okay? He told me that when he was 19 years old, one long Friday night in the winter, he was sitting on the couch and he was going to be Mavis Sedra, right? Shnai Mikra Vechetargum. But he had the whole night to do it. So he's sitting on the couch and he's thinking to himself, should I get up? Should I do it now? You know what? I'll get up. And he picks himself up, goes to the other end of the couch where the Chumash is next to the small table next to the couch. Gets the Chumash and sits down there at the other end of the long couch. 10 minutes into his being Mabed the Sedra, the other end of the couch where he was lying down with his head atop a pillow at the other end of the couch, which happened to have been right next to the wall of the dining room, which had a floor-to-ceiling mirror. The mirror, all of a sudden, 10 years after it was installed, comes crashing down right where his head was, on the other end of the couch. Mm. He is over here, shook up. Everybody comes running in. Are you okay? Are you okay? He's okay, a little bit shook up. And then he kind of collects his thoughts, and he realizes, had I not gotten up to go be Mabed the Sedra when I did, then I still would have been lying down over there. Mm. By the way, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Ches Amar Aleph, says that someone's Mabed the Sedra, there you go, Marichin Loi Yom V'Shenoisa. When I looked at him, I said, we got to get this one into the book. Uh-huh. So this is a couple of weeks ago, literally. So I've suggested this story, going over with my wonderful editor, Machko, Bez Hashem, the next couple of days. And I'm going to substitute that for that, because that's a remarkable mm-hmm. story.
So, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. I think there's somewhat of a misnomer that Hashgacha Pratis is where things work out the way you wanted it to, or things, you know, kind of there's always a happy ending.
Okay.
Really, in essence, in principle, Hashgacha Pratis is telling us of Hashem's control of the world, regardless of how things play out or how we feel they should play
right.
out.
So the Chazon has said that Hashgacha Pratis does not mean just because the Eibush is doing it, does not mean it'll work out the way you want to right now, okay? I'll give you another idea.
And I'm not talking about Betachin, because Betachin is a separate discussion.
Yes.
According to the Shitas that hold that if you have proper Betachin on the very high level, you could actually, bring about a cause. I'm not getting involved in that conversation.
So Hoidu Lashem Ki Toiv Ki Li Olam Chasdei. There are different ways to interpret the meaning or to define what it means. Li Olam. Li Olam also means it takes a whole lifetime, li olam chazdei, which means It'll be good now. Now, we won't necessarily see the good. It's more than this is what the Eibishter wants. The Eibishter is Olam Chesed Yibona. He's a total Meitav, a perfect Meitav, and therefore it'll turn out well for you. It may not turn out well right now. The book, Be'ezes Hashem, will have at least 125 Hashkacha Prata stories. I got a whole bunch of great stories. I ain't going to say it now, because then...
Let's hear, what's your best one? Give us...
Okay, so one that comes to mind is a story with Moshe Soloveitchik. And he was a very wealthy timber merchant. And all of a sudden, in the days of Chaim Voloshin, he loses his money. They convened a court because this guy is a real, real good person. You know, he gave stock and everything. How could this have happened? What? He lost all his money suddenly? So, by the way, when he lost his money, he was a very bright guy. He sat down and he started to learn. He wound up becoming a member of the Beis Din. And they convened, a Beis Din, for the lack of a better term, to understand what happened. And the only conclusion they reached was he gave too much stock. He's supposed to give a certain amount, and he gave too much. So Chaim Voloshin said, that can't be. So here is someone, no longer has his timber business. He's learning. His kids get into learning. And his son marries Chaim Voloshin's daughter, I think it was, and then he becomes the beginning of the Brisk dynasty. Losses at the time, it looked terrible. Can you imagine? If you say to someone, okay, 30 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever it is, wealth, but you won't have that. That's the way the Ashgacha worked out. You got to read the story in the book, Be'ez Hashem. Mm-hmm. To see why that, but that's the hashgacha. So, yeah, la'olam chasdoi, the Gemara that says that the word MS is spelled Aleph Mem Tov. First letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the last letter. The word Sheker, Kofreshin, three letters run next to each other. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos. This is also in the book. What's the hashkafa behind it? So there are several explanations. I'll give you one, which is in this particular day in the book. Sheker abounds. You can find it. It's all over the place, okay? That's Kuf Reishin, right? MS, if you want to get the MS, you got to go from the beginning. You got to know the beginning of the story, the middle, and you also have to wait for all the way at the end, and you'll find out the MS. It might take a while. If you look at the Aleph and the Mem, you won't get the MS, but you've got to go further, and you've got to go further, and you have to give it time to develop.
And I would add that we're not always zeicha in our lives to see the tough, right?
But,
not always the case.
But we are zeicha
When Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbanu Shlomo the question of Sadik Varale, the Rabbanu Shlomo said, if I tell you to answer, I have to dismantle the world.
So again, right? It's the Eibishter's world.
Right.
He created the world. Nobody's done it. So, ani ma'amin, aval lo ani mevin. So now, having said that, now let's take a step back. So we understand it, but we understand it intellectually. Noyach HaTzadik, Esher Elokim is Halech Noyach. Noyach, Rashi says, was called a Maimon Ve'ein a Maimon. So, in Pashat Noyach and Shul, here's what I told the Olam. Seems to me, and this was at the beginning of the war, seems to me that if I had to pick a generation that I'm familiar with, I would say our generation, we're like Noyach. We're Maminim, 100%. But Maimon Ve'ein a Maimon, of course we're Maminim, but like, it's a tough nut to crack. Tzadik, Noyach, B'doy Roysov. Yeah, in our generation, take a look at the generation. Well, B'nai Torah, the unbelievable. I remember over 50 years ago, Shmuel Brunny, my Rebbe, once gave, I may have said this the last time I was there, I don't remember, and he changed the shmooze, this is Erev Rosh Hashanah, because of somebody who was went to Rebbe the week before and said, I'm having so much difficulty. The Yom HaNoron coming up, and I feel I'm not good enough. And then, like, you know what I mean? I'm being miyash, I'm giving up. Rav Tzadik HaKohen says, please don't ever do that. He's not the only one, but that's the one that I can recall. Please don't ever, Jews are never supposed to give up. So Shmuel Brundi changed his shmuz to say, Mizeneg Avadik, Avada, we have to do tshuva. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Tzadik, you know something? In our generation, the people that are watching this now, I must tell them, they're all tzadikim. Mama tzadikim. Are we perfect? No. But that's, we're down here and the Avish mm-hmm. created us with the Yetzer Hara. Don't forget, the tzadik falls seven times. But he's still called a tzadik. So, mamin ve'ena mamin. I think, what was missing in Noach? So the Stipler on Chumash says, it was emuna sichlius. Yeah, he understood it. He learned about it, he understood it, but it was sichlius. It was an intellectual concept. V'yadata hayoyim, v'yadata v'ashavosh el v'vecha. We know what all the Balei Machshava say. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is it's got to...
internalize it.
Yeah, you got to internalize it. So how do we internalize it? David HaMelech is being chased by his son. Mizmol David b'vorcha b'vnei Avshalom b'noi. And yet, fakti gemara and brachas, mizmol David kina m'boyle. He should have said lamentation. Everything more. If it would have been an Ebed or a Mamzer. But now that it's his son, wow. That's the reason for a mizmor. So the obvious question is, that's not a reason for a mizmor.
Right.
Your son, premeditate. So Rabbi Yonis and Eibshit says an unbelievable shot. He said, of course, it was a difficulty. His son is trying to go after him to kill him. But he saw it was so unusual, it was so out of the ordinary. When things happen out of the ordinary, we see clearly Yad Hashem. Mm-hmm. It's like when miracles happen, mm-hmm. we also see clearly Yad Hashem. Wow. Hey, you know what happened? Could you believe it? What happened was, wow, that is remarkable. Wow, Yad Hashem. Oh, my daughter became a kala. And you know how? You know what happened? She's all, wow, that is remarkable. Okay? You know what happened? There was an accident, but then, wow, that's true. Oh, Yad Hashem. We're not zoichet to miracles. But what we are zoichet to is the Mizmah L'David B'vorcha B'vnei Avshalom B'noi moments. And just like David HaMelech said a Mizmah, because he saw so clearly the Yad Hashem, he was so happy he knew that Hashem Imodi. No, gamki elich begeitz hamavos loy v'rakiyate imadi. When you know the Abish is with you, you have hope. You know that the big Baal Aracham of Inush Bashamayim, he's with me. He's not a, he's mamash. He is the director, the producer. He is doing everything. All the little moments, the nuances, even the difficult part. There must be a ruchnius reason. Otherwise, mm-hmm. he would not have willed it now for me.
I want to point out, you mentioned Rabbi Miller before, Rabbi Avigdor Miller. One of the things Rabbi Miller was able to teach Klal Yisrael was that we don't have to wait for those moments to recognize Hashkachas Hashem. Maybe Rabbi Miller, more than anyone else in the previous generation, our time, was able to highlight the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in every facet
that's
of our
correct.
Lives. From our health to our sustenance, and so on and so forth.
The watermelon, the potato,
the apple, everything,
and
so on and so forth. That was really what his message was.
So
we don't have to wait for the Avshalom moment. You know, we don't have to wait for the tragedy, and we don't have to wait for the miracle to see the Yad Hashem. We really could see the Yad Hashem.
Absolutely right. But you know something? Just like the ordinary moments happen. The out of the ordinary moments happen so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm able to have 125, 130
stories. And it just takes it's a question of recognizing.
Yeah, I've got so many in my family. I'm sure you have in yours. Here's an example, the Thursday night story,
right.
where we got around not to talk about that. Wait, then somebody else said, oh, I have a story with my grandfather who was in the Russian army. And I got three or four stories just by people getting together. It's a function of being aware of something.
Mm-hmm.
If we're aware of it, then we start to look for it. And if we start to look for it, we begin to notice it. And when we notice it, we internalize it. And if we internalize it, we move up that proverbial ladder where Yaakov Avinu was Rosh HaMagia LaShemaima, and we're able to reach the heavens. We're able to connect with the Eibishter.
Right, right. I would mention, we're talking about Amuna B'tachon HaShkacha. I think in the last years, let's say, I'll bring up one story. The story of Rabbi Shaul Mordechai Rubashkin specifically, and I think he lives not far from you in Jackson.
Yes,
his
story is in the book also.
It is?
Yeah, that's correct.
Agree that his story resonated so widely with people because they saw the Amunah and Betachin tangibly, someone who lived it and still lives it, and how he was zeichet to the Yeshua, and it gave people a lot of chizik in that fashion.
Right. We have the story with when President Truman recognized the State of Israel, and the State Department was against it. And how did it happen? So President Truman had a friend, Eddie Jacobson, who was a non-religious Lower East Side Jew, who moved in 1913 to Kansas City, which is where Harry Truman was living. They went to school together. They fought in World War I together. They started a haberdashery store for 3 years. It wasn't successful. Mm-hmm. They went their different ways. Harry went into politics. Eddie Jacobson did something else. And in 1948, Harry Truman is the president. But the State Department wouldn't let anybody talk to Harry Truman about recognizing the State of Israel. So somebody remembered that there was this, didn't President Truman have a friend, a Jewish friend, Eddie Jacobson? Yeah, so they contacted him. He calls up the president. The first thing the president says is, but we're not going to talk about the State of Israel. Eddie Jacobson says, fine, but can I come see you? People did not want the president to see him. He said, it's an old friend of mine. We started a business together. How can I not see him? Mm-hmm. And he comes to the White House, and Truman, Hashkacha Pratis, happens to have a bust of, I think it was Andrew Jackson, on the table behind him. Eddie Jacobson asks President Truman, who's that? He said, that's my hero. Jacobson starts to cry. He says, well, I have a hero too. Who's your hero? Chaim Weizmann. Would you please speak to Chaim Weizmann? Well, I mean, I can't have one of my best buddies crying. I'll talk to him. He talks to him. And now, that's only one aspect of the Hashkacha Pratis. The other aspect was in 19, I forget the year, it's in the book, Truman was down and out. He was depressed, had no job. He was down and out, sitting in his mother-in-law's kitchen, that's also in the book, and somebody calls him up and says, we need someone to run for the local congressman in Canada. Would you run? And one of these powerful men in the party, I don't remember, says, and I'll back you. Mm-hmm. Truman wins, and Truman becomes, years later, the unlikely vice president of Roosevelt. So Truman getting into politics was all because he was down and out with no future, starting to get depressed. There's so much Hashkacha Pratis in this. It's like, and you go, wait, I mean, this is remarkable.
Right.
So Hashkacha Pratis is all around us.
Yeah, it is all around us. And I think today, you're older and wiser than me.
I'm older. I think, more gray than you. That's correct.
I think one of the tactics of the Yetzer today is that he makes us so busy and so harried that he doesn't allow us to stop and see what's in front of us. Like you were saying, there are moments that are obviously orchestrated from above, but the Yetzer just keeps us on this perpetual.
Yeah. That I'm older, but I'm not that old. That was the deal in Mitzrayim. Keep him busy, keep him busy.
Exactly.
By the way, the title of the book is Living with Hashem, colon, and in smaller, Living with Clarity and Connection. Mm-hmm. We don't have clarity because the HR sends so many obstacles, there's confusion. If we had clarity, we would see clearly, and it's all in front of us. Mm-hmm. It's just a function of being aware that it exists, taking a step back and noticing. It's almost being mindful every moment of take a look what's going on and where it
emanates
from.
Now that we're in a war,
right?
Klal Yisrael is engaged. You know, people are tuned in. They want to know what's right. going on in Eretz Yisrael. It seems to be a tremendous wave of tshuva and people recognizing the Yad Hashem more than in regular times, which is interesting. Also, people are recognizing the Hashgacha. You see people who are putting on tefillin, putting on tzitzis, soldiers who are recognizing the Yad Hashem, and so on and so forth. It's definitely an opportune time. War is. And difficulties, trials and tribulations, when Klal Yisrael seems to come closer, not the other way around. It's somewhat counterintuitive, because people would think sometimes when they go through difficult times, it would push them away. But on the contrary, we're finding that people are drawn to their spirituality and drawn to Rabbanu Shlomo.
So this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Saita, Mem Tesam at Beis, Ein Onu Lishon El Avinu Shebashamayim, Ba'achas Hayomim. And we are definitely, without a doubt, in the Achos HaYomim, by all accounts, of Gedolim in the current generation, in prior generations. It's really like the Chevlei Leda. Chevlei Leda, there are difficulty. There's immense pain. I mean, go back. We've had COVID. We had the Maron tragedy. We've had a whole, and then we had this. So I'll tell you another, I guess, Hashgacha Pratis, in a way. In February 1960, this is also in the book, Rav Ella Lapayon told his students the following. There was an earthquake in Morocco. 5,000 people died. And Rav Ella Lapayon told his students that just because it happened hundreds of miles away from Eretz Yisrael, don't think it's not a message for us. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. Ein peronius bala olam ela bishvil Yisrael. He said it's not that we're not at fault. Don't misunderstand the Gemara. But it means we're supposed to take, it's a message for us. Fine, we have to do tshuva, that was the message. I'm in shul, and this is right before Rosh Hashanah. And then I tell the olam, I said, you know that the largest earthquake since February 1960 just happened in Morocco. 3,500 people died, 5,000 people were injured. And I said to the olam, we're a week before Rosh Hashanah. Ein peronis bala olam ela bishvil Yisrael to do tshuva. That's the Rambam and Hilchos Taniyos. If Rav Ella Lapayon were around now, what do you think he would tell us? Let's fast forward. We have to do tshuva. The Rambam says that if we don't do tshuva, you're called an achzor. It's cruel. The obvious question is, you're not an achzor. I might be mindless. I might not be focused. Why call me an Arza? And the obvious explanation is, which some of the Mepharshim say, there's an obvious message. Knock, knock, who's there? Would you please get up and go answer the door? If you would answer the door, you would see what you need to do. And the Rambam says, and if we don't do tshuva, there'll be more tzaras. That's the lashon of the Rambam. So here I am, right before Rosh Hashanah, and I'm telling the Olam what Rav Ella Lapayon said in February 1960. And guess what? We just had an earthquake a couple of days ago, the largest earthquake in the same place. If Rav Ella Lapayon would be here now, what would he say? Mindful of the Rambam, that if you don't do tshuva, you're an arza, more tzaros will come. And then a month later, we have this war in Eretz Yisrael. So here I am, after the war, and I repeated what I had said that time. I said, I don't know what's going on. I'm just telling you what Rav Ella Lapayon said. I'm telling you what the Rambam said. And I'm just reporting the news. But you see, if we start to connect the dots and we recognize the Hashgacha, everything happens for a reason. That's what Hashgacha Pratis means. No such thing as coincidence. Truman becoming president, how we got into politics, Eddie Jacobson, his friend, okay? I all the stories, this guy being Mava Cedric gets up, decides to be Mava Cedric. Just then, 10 minutes later, that 10-year-old mirror falls. It happens to have happened. Everything happens for a reason. And everything has a spiritual, a ruchnius lesson, whatever it is, even if things do not turn out well. Okay, Rav Olba was stuck in Sweden for 8 years. If right after the war. And this is also in the book. And there was no minyan. Rav Olba said, this is the same thing Yosef HaTzadik, who was learning with his father, the Bechir Shabbat, Yaakov Avinu, goes to Mitzrayim. Can he say, well, this is terrible. Where's the Ashkocha? No, the Ashkocha brought this. He goes to Mitzrayim. We all know the story, right? He's in jail. Yaakov Avinu comes down, the Shiva in Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satayra. Don't you see? Even the difficult parts in a person's life, if we're mindful that this is Yad Hashem, Ashkocha brought this, the Eibishter only does Toiv. Now, we have to process it. There's no doubt. We have to process it because we're human, we're boss of a dumb. But our conclusion, really, if we're focused and if we're well educated and inspired by the whole concept and the stories, we'll begin to see that everything happened by Hashgacha Pratis.
So, go ahead.
So here's what I want people to do.
That's what I was going to ask. I know you want people to take, you're on a mission.
Yes.
You're a man on a mission. You didn't just write this book. You told me before we started this interview that you really want this book to be, I don't know if the right word is a roadmap. You almost want it to be a guide to people to do something, to take action, to apply it.
Right.
How do you want people to implement it?
By the way, that always seems to be the genesis of all the books.
Of all the books that you've written.
Right. The Tfilin, the Tshuva Yavke, but this happens to everyone. Hashgacha Pratis happens to everyone. It happens to me. It happens to you. It happens to me and my family. I'm aware of many of the incidences. It happens to me in the place that I go, Jackson, of some of the people there because they related the story, except we're unaware of all these things. We're unaware of the things that happen to other people, and we're unaware of the things that may happen to ourselves. Can you imagine the gold mine? I have one of the days in the book is called Turn Dirt into Gold. Can you imagine the mundane? When I say dirt, it's like it's nothing. You know, you take the, there's a little dandruff, a little dirt on my shoulder. You go like that. Take the mundane, like what's embedded in this moment. There's nothing there. Be aware that it's Hashgacha Pratis and turn that into gold. And we can all become closer to the Eibishter. Now, I want people to keep a diary. It's not my suggestion. In 1984, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky suggested, I found this in one of the wonderful art school books, okay? I think it was Rabbi Sutton, the Betochen of the Beis Halevi. I found it in a footnote. I was waiting for Mincha to start one day. There was a sefer. I picked it up. I started reading it, and I said, Hashgacha Pratis, the Avis still wants that. Don't you see? That's an example, Hashgacha Pratis. Mm-hmm. The minion, they had nine guys. Usually the minion, so I sat down, and what am I going to do? So I picked up a safe. The safer happens to have been there. Was that safer? Mm-hmm. Wait. I had like a minute, because the 10th guy comes in. I happened to have opened it up, and I'm reading the story. I'm going, wow. Oh, I didn't know that. Not only that, I find out that Chatzko Levenstein used to suggest to his daughters to keep a personal journal, and he would incentivize them. Hashgacha Pratis. Could you imagine if everybody started to keep their own journals, which meant they became more aware of it, they would write it down, and their kids would keep the stories of their own Hashgacha Pratis. And could you imagine, and I'm going to suggest it in the book, that people email to me their stories. Right now the address is vaanitfila.org, V-A-N, like in Nochum, I-T, like in Thomas, E-F-I-L-L-A-H.org. Well, Be'ez Hashem, if the story is a really good one, which means Hashgacha Pratis, and it's relatable, we'll put it in a book. Mm-hmm. You'll have your story in an art scroll book. We're working on trying to incentivize with a raffle for a wonderful gift certificate. I don't know yet. We're in the process of doing that. Can you imagine? And you would have the schus of helping thousands upon thousands of people see the Hashgacha Pratis, which is one main aspect of Emunah. By the way, every day we mention the Yetzias Mitzrayim. because that's the aspect of Hashgacha Pratis, and that's more important for us to remember and to relate to and to talk about than the fact that the Eibush created the world. It's not mine, that I don't remember exactly, this is also in the book. So if we can help Klal Yisrael to focus, we can bring everyone. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gula comes, we rely on the Eibushter. Now, if we recognize that he does everything, then of course we will daven and rely on him. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a main part of the recipe to bring Gula. So this is like a wonderful opportunity to get everyone to focus, get everyone to internalize, get people to connect, and to bring Geula. Could you imagine? They'll say, which generation was the one that brought the Geula? Yes, that was the one that brought the Geula. Archgold had all these Emunah and Betochen books, and everybody started to read it, not just Archgold, but everybody, to their credit, as I mentioned before, the Tzelem Elikim people, they started the one percenters, they started to connect, and they enhanced that connection because they started to focus on Hashgacha Pratis. And they realized, Ein Anu Lishon Ela, Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, it's a Mishnah, Achros Hayomim. It's here for the taking.
I think there's no more opportune time, honestly, for this book and this topic than now.
And that's Hashgacha Pratis.
And that's also Hashgacha.
Yes, yes.
But you're the Shliach of the Rabbanu Shlom to bring this message to the public at this time. People are going to read the book. They won't only be inspired by the stories. They will be inspired by the messages which they'll be able to take with them, because it's not just about stories that happen to work out nicely. It's about totally, I think, right, it's really about reshaping the way we look at everything.
I do want to mention, yeah, I've got a couple of chapters on the Hashgacha Pratis when things do not work out, to explain it.
Right.
I have a chapter about people that go through difficulties. And it's all about just focusing on what's going on, whether we recognize and it works out in our best interest at the time, or even if it doesn't.
Right,
they're
right.
All opportunities, literally tailor-made. I have one chapter about, you mentioned how I'm sort of the shliach. I'm just doing one part of the puzzle. No, that's the emes. Our scroll is doing their part, and everyone is going to be doing their part. There's one long chapter in the book about Hashgacha Pratis and your tafkid. Everyone has a purpose. And the way I explain it, some people say, well, you know, who am I? Can you imagine somebody gave you this big, beautiful puzzle and they said, hang it up in your living room. Now, the puzzle has a lot of details. There's the building and the colors and the foliage of the trees, the beautiful kite and everything, the plane. And then the top part of the picture has got blue sky. If, let's say, one small piece of the blue sky, the nondescript, what is that part of the picture doing? It's a nondescript little blue sky. If that piece was missing, would you hang up that puzzle, big, beautiful puzzle? I wouldn't. People come in and go, that's an incomplete picture. Everyone has a tafkid. Everybody helps to bring shleimus to the world. Reb Dessler and Chelik Dalad brings a das tvunos, the Ramchal that says, why one person has this mission, and that's not for us. He said the Befeirish. It's also in the book. The Maramokim is there. That's not for us. But what's clearly for us, I have my mission, you have your mission, everybody else has their mission. And we might think that my mission is not as great as yours, but guess what? The Eibush don't make mistakes. And if he created each individual because he holds that person is worth it to be created.
On that note, Rabbi Kleinman, thank you for this magnificent book. Thank you for this message, a reminder of the Hashgacha Pratis in our lives. We appreciate the work that you put into this, and we appreciate your general inspiration that you provide to Klal Yisrael. Any final note before we
wrap
up?
You're very kind, and I appreciate the fact that I have partners who take the next step always with literally with excellence and with perfection as much as a human being can do, and who helps Klal Yisrael.
Baruch Hashem, it's a team effort. The credit goes to the truly the Rabbi Zlotowitz and the rest of the art school team.
Yes, and it goes to the readers who then internalize, and they'll hopefully send back their hashgacha. By the way, when they send back their stories, we'll take out any personal information that they don't want. Don't worry about it. But we can really help to bring the gula. I really feel that.
Amen, Rabbi Kleinman.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you again for coming in.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.